No, this is brand new. Okay, Varach Shechianu, Vikimanu, Vigianu, Asana, Zah.
Why don't you say KH? That's Damon and Moriah.
So it's Varach Hashem, a big schuss to be here with all of you for Summersman and Varach Hashem, our fourth year, right? Think so. Anyway, it's always Baruch Hashem been a tremendous limud, very geschmack. Get away from everything else, and there's nothing here to do but learn. And such a wonderful shul. Thank Adam, of course. And it's really it should be a good zman. So I thought we would talk a little bit about this is the request of a couple of people to talk about how to learn halacha. And I can't really answer your question. How to learn halacha. I guess to a large degree, you know, you'll figure it out as you go along. But maybe some introductory thoughts that might be helpful. So the first thing I think that's absolutely a prerequisite to learn halacha is to know the makoros. You can't start with the Shulchan Aruch or the Mishnah Berurah, the Kitzur Sefer, the like. You have to start from the beginning, from the Gemara. One, I think, particular source that brings this out is a Gemara in Daf Tainis, Chesem Ad Aleph, Reish Lakish Amar, Imreisa Talmud, Shelimudo Kasha Lav Kabarzel, Bishvil Mishnaso, Shena Sedura Lav, Shenamar, Vihu Panim, Vihu Lo Panim Kilkel, Maita Kante, Yarbi Rishiva, Shenamar Vachayelim Yigaber, Yisron Hachsher Chachma, Kol Shekane, Mishnaso Sedura Lo Meikara. So the Gemara says you see someone who's having a hard time to understand the halacha. It's hard for him to understand, or like a look at Rashi, Shalimudo Kasha Lav Kibarzel, Shakasha Lomirov Kushios. He has so many questions, so many things he doesn't understand. Bishvil Mishnaso Shena Sedura, why is that? Because Mishnaso Shena Sedura, Veino Zocher Maksivba, Ulafikach Eino Yodea Lafarik. In other words, what's going on? He doesn't remember, by the time he gets to the halacha, he doesn't remember what it says in the Mishnah. So the takana is, Yarab Yeshiva, Sheyas Diru B'nei Yeshiva Mishnasan, Shenama V'chayalim Bein Talmidim, Hen Chayalos Chayalos. And we have a story from Reish Lakish, Giyad Reish Lakish Arizadar, Masnise Arbayin Zimne, Keneged Arbayin Yom, Shenit Nator, V'ayel Kamed Reb Yochanan. So what would Reish Lakish do? He would chazer 40 times, connected the 40 days of Matan Torah, and then afterwards he'd go to Shir to Rabbi Yochanan to understand. In other words, if you go to Shir before Mishnaso Siduralo, so then you're not really going to get Shir, or you're not going to get the halachos. You're going to have a lot of questions. The Gemara over here is telling us that you have to learn the Mishnah before the Gemara, and likewise, you have to learn the Gemara before you go to the poskim. You have to know where things are coming from. Otherwise, you have a lot of kashas, or even worse, you won't have any kashas because you won't understand, and you won't even realize you don't understand. And first of all, you'll have kashas. Rashi says also, Eino Zocher Maksiv Bei. There are many, many sources that emphasize this point about knowing the makoros, going back to the makoros and the importance. We'll just see the Gra and the Rush who emphasize this point. And I'm emphasizing it because it's not just clearly true, but oftentimes not done. Many times it's people, they start off learning Gemara, focusing on Gemara, and they learn Gemara and Rishon them, and they don't look at the Shulchan Aruch, they don't look at the Halacha, they don't try to get the Halacha. And then they switch over to learning Halacha, and they only learn the Halacha. They don't really do the Gemaras, or if they do, it's superficial, you know, you have to read the Makoros and the Gemara. But even when they learn beyond, they spend a lot of time on the poskim, but they forgot the Gemara. And that's a problem. So the way the Gra puts it, Halomed poskim deli Gemara omrin ha'amon shezek ochol dagen below pilpulin. Rabbeinu amar kepilpulin below dagen. So madach, fish without peppers. It's very bland. Okay. But at least you ate lunch. Okay. It's bland, right? You know, so some people, it's the makaros. People think, okay, you go back to the makaros, then it's much more geschmack. Oh, it's geshmak. If you know what it says in the Gemara Mishonim, then when you learn halacha, it's geshmak. If not, so okay, you have halacha seder, right? You still know what to do. You read the Mishnah Berurah, I told you what to do. So the Gemara is saying, no, it's like eating pepper for lunch without the pit fish, right? You don't eat lunch. Maybe it's very sharp. But along similar lines, this is from the Tshuvas HaRash, the chain toim kol hamorim. So you see, by the way, this problem isn't new. Kol hamorim horaos mitoch divrei Rambam zal the einem bekiyin begemara leidem hechan hotzi dvarav. They start from the Rambam. So the Rambam didn't tell you where it's getting from. But okay, at least you know what to do. And again, I think we're going to apply it to our times, you might say, the Mishnah Berurah or something like that. But you don't know where it's coming from. Mishnah Berurah does sometimes tell you to some degree where it's coming from. You won't really get it. So, to'in lahatir ha'asar v'lasar ha'motar. Because you don't really understand where it's coming from, you're going to make a mistake. And go ahead and read the rest. He speaks in very strong Lashonos, along similar lines in another Tshuvas HaRash that you have over here. Again, I'm going to the left column now. Ela shetaf Shetivach ruchan shel osan habayin ladun al pi sifre v'chibure gdolim. Right? Great people, great farm. We're not saying anything against the Rambam. Ve'enem yodim klal lo b'mishnah lo b'gemara shelefamim ta'as ofer bein chiyav leftor o bein iser lemutter o machmas kotzer daitam le'yavinu divrei hamechabrim lishuran v'ayin l'idei tos. So clearly that's not a good mahalich. Okay? You might pass the b'china. Talking about smicha v'chinas today, so you might pass the v'china, but you won't really know how to paskin. And we'll get back to that point. Okay, number two is read carefully. Again, okay, you go back to the Gemara. Many of us, before we start learning halacha, we read the Gemara very carefully and shown him carefully, and then you sort of to be itzi and you go back. You have to read everything very carefully. And that's at every step. You know, every sefer in halacha, especially the ones you're going to be spending time on, that we learn because they're very, very important to learn. So you have to read them carefully, not superficially. The Chazon Ish writes, Umatbeya umiteva bnei Adam, Likro es hakasa b'sefer b'shitchias uv'mehiras kikore igares u'mekinyane hachachma lisraga l'daktek b'lashon chachamim ki divreim nechtevu b'diktuk iuni. So you have to read slowly and carefully. There are diukim to be made. And again, a lot of times when we sort of transition from learning Gemara to Halacha, so we start reading more superficially. Why? Because we have a curriculum, right? We got to finish all of Hilchos X by a certain amount of time. And so, Mimela, you have to read very quickly and you don't make diukin and the like. So much emerges from reading slowly and carefully. That's very, very important. And this brings us to Lamdas and the role of Lamdas. Again, I think people make a mistake. Lamdas is when you're learning Gemara, and then when you turn to learning Halacha, you sort of turn off your, I want to say turn off your brain, but that aspect of your brain, that analysis. And you just focus on, you know, what does it say and what does each position say? This is us or this is Mutter, and that's it, without trying to figure out what are they arguing about. Again, before you learn halacha, whenever you see a machlokas, Tosas and Rashba, what's the nekudas of machlokas and what's behind them? Not just knowing Rashba says asur and Tosas says mutter, but why and what's behind their debate? Why does each one say the way they did? So again, you have to make sure you do this when you learn halacha as well. Gemara, that's relevant. Sotach of base and base. Itmar. Kar v'shana v'lo shimish tamid chachamim. Reblazer omer, hareze am haretz. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Omer Harei Zebor. Rashi, V'lo Shimesh Tamidei Chachamim, Lilmod Svaras HaGemara B'Tamei HaMishnah Mahim. So shimush here doesn't mean like bringing your Rebbe a cup of tea. That's also a nice thing. But that's not what we're referring to over here. Shimesh Talmid HaChachamim, and this is this the way it's used in the context of the Gemara, though it's relevant nowadays in a slightly different way, but still equally true, was that the Mishnayos were written. The analysis of the Gemara wasn't there yet. So if you don't understand the Svaras HaGemara, the Tamei HaMishnah, understand what's going on, Rashahu, She'en Torasso Alvorya, Vein Lilmod Heimeno, Shalidei HaTamim, Yesh Chiluk, Be'isr V'Heter, Uvedinei Mamonos, Lezakos Ulechayev, Uvetaros, Latam Latayer, Kida Amar Bekam Aduchti. In other words, it's not just that you'll forget the halacha, but you'll get the wrong halacha. And you have to know the reasons. You have to know the ta'amin. It's not just enough to know the positions. Take a look at this gra. This is from Mishle on the Pasuk. Rosh asa kaf rimiya viyad charutzim tashir. So he says, Misha lomid rimiya. Hainu, shena lomid sharshe hadinim. Rakitzer hadinim. Somebody just reads the kitzer din, right? The bottom line. This is this. But they don't understand the shoresh. They don't understand what it's based on. They don't understand the lamdos. They don't understand the tamem, as it says over here. So that is learning birimiya. Why would you even do that? Kedei laharu, shu yodea kol adinim. Zelse, oso, l'rash koach. Kilosof, shiyishkach kam osam, mach masheno yodea shirash. So you're going to forget them. Why are you going to forget them? Because memorizing facts, generally speaking, doesn't work, right? You study for a test. So, you know, we've all crammed for tests before, and, you know, you don't really understand it, but you remember the facts, and you cram, and then, okay, you'll pass the test. But you're not going to remember it unless it really makes sense to you. And so long term, you don't save any time by skipping. Aval yad charutzim tashir, haino misha lo made hadin im sharasha. The odeh makor called das vidin. Right? You know the shoresh, you know the makor of each everything. Then tashir, shiyeda kol. Right? And that's one of the things actually that the Gra does in this parasha in the Shulchan Aruch, as we'll have a chance to learn. He tells you what's the makor. And every din in Shulchan Aruch where it comes back to in Chazal. Sometimes that's straightforward. Sometimes it's not. Okay, turning to number four, Amelos and Bikush HaEmes. This is a tremendous Rabbeinu Yonah. Every time I reread this, I feel bad that I don't do it, don't live up to it, but we'll learn it together. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Shmuel beno Omer, Halomed Almanas Lilamed, Mafsikin Biyado Lilmod Ulilamed. If you learn in order to teach, then you're Zocha to learn and to teach. Halomed Almanas Lasos, then Mafsikin Biyado Lilmod Ulilamed Lishmor Lasos. Unbelievable. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, there's an obvious question. So what does it mean? The first guy is not lomod almanas lasos. He's not a halachic observant person. He just teaches. So that's obviously doesn't make sense. You won't be zocha lomod olalamed. Right? That's the diuk. Rabbi Shmuel Omer halomed almanas lalamed perush. Chas v'shalom, she'en ze medaber v'lomed almanas v'lamed v'lolasos. That can't be what we're talking about. Shazayin mas bikin biyado lo lomod v'lololamed. He's a rasha. Ela almanas lasos is a magic mushroom. So the first guy, he plans to do what it says, and, you know, follows what it says on the svar. That's how he's learning. Lo, she yitrach v'yayin harbe. Ula yimtza iser bedvarm hamutarim. Ach lo kech advarm kepshutan. Mepnei kach, ein maspikim biyado, ela kefi machshavto. Ulmod, ulalamed. You'll do as much as you aspire to. So if your aspiration is simply, how are you going to follow? What are you going to do? You're going to learn and do what it says. Okay, that's Madrega. Follow everything that says in the Mishnah Berurah and teach. And teach that. That's, but what should a person aspire to? So listen to this. Lomed almanas lasos, maspikin biyada lomod ulalamed velasos. Ratzalomar. Shedaito lefalpel belimud. Kidei ladas amitas hadvarim. You want to really, really, really know what the truth is. Sometimes, if we're honest, we're not really interested in what the truth is. We just want to know, is it okay to do X? Okay, so I open up whatever Sefer is relevant, and it says it's okay to do X, and so I'm happy to do X. So it says it's mutter. But what we should aspire to is to know the truth. Amita sadvarim. V'ritzono l'troach kama yamin v'shanim l'hasig davar kata. So if that's your goal, so you're going to be willing to spend a huge amount of time, even though you're not going to cover as much ground, by definition. The linog atmal piha emes. Hare ze lamad amanas lasos. That's what it means, lomod amanas lasos. That your whole goal, your whole agenda is to figure out what's right, what's true, even if it takes a huge amount of time. Shekol ikur machshavto ein ki im el hamais elios amiti. That's what it means, almanas lasos. That it should be amistic. Fika nas being the other lasos hamais. So some people learn for many years, and their goal is to get through the makoros and try to understand and remember every shir, right? But that's not what our goal should be. And that requires tremendous asmada and amelos, and I think more than anything else, bikush ha'emes, which is what this is talking about. And that's why, and yet another reason why we have to properly go through the makoros and really understand the dinim, and not just read and figure out what the bottom line is, or for that matter, just go to a shir where the Rebbe tells you this is what the bottom line is, but to learn them ourselves. So this brings us to the order of how to do things. And this is not Halacha Moshe Sinai. And there are many ways, valuable ways, good ways to learn Halacha, what to learn, what to skip, and the like. And despite what we just read from Rabbeinu Yonah, the emes is we do also have to cover some ground. I don't know if it would be so successful if we were ma'ayin so much that we did one siman in Shulchan Aruch. So what to do practically? Where to start? Where to end up? So what we're talking here is about it's what we're doing now is primarily, though not exclusively, in Archaim Dekalimud, so we'll focus on Archaim. So as we said, start off with Gemara and Rishonim. How many Rishonim are you going to have a chance to see? You have to see how much time you have. So you might not be able to see every Meiri. The basics, certainly, you should try to see. My general feeling, based off what we're saying, is you're better off seeing less with the time to think about it than flying through lots of Rishonim without that chance. Then you turn to, Rishonim includes Rambam. Turn to the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef does quote the Rishonim, so you might say, what do I have to see the Rishonim for? I'll just go to the Beis Yosef. It's not like terrible, but the Beis Yosef usually is oftentimes snippets. Like the relevant parts of that Rishon. So even when they're quoting it, oftentimes you'll miss things because you don't have the Shakal Natarya. Sometimes he does, but oftentimes he doesn't. He'll quote, even though Beis Yosef is largely direct quotes, it's not just a summary. Usually it's verbatim more or less, but still it's not verbatim beginning to end. It's verbatim of the part that's most relevant. And you miss out. And sometimes for the Chevra's learning Yardaya, even when it's coming from, like, let's say the Tarsavayas, which itself is a halacha sefer written by the Rashba, you'll see that the Beis Yosef will omit parts. And when you look at the Tarsavayas himself inside, you'll realize things. Not that the Beis Yosef is trying to fool you. He also understood it. But for whatever reason, he left out parts because he didn't want the book to be long enough as it is. And so you might think, okay, like for a sefer like Tarsavayas, which is just a halacha sefer anyway, I'll just get that from the basis. If you'll find, at least I found that many times looking at it inside, you'll see things that you would otherwise miss. When I say Beis Yosef, I also mean the Darkei Moshes. Again, if you have more time, you can look at the Bach. If you look at the Darkei Moshe Aruch, you'll sometimes see things that aren't in the Darkei Moshe Katzer. I don't generally feel for myself, have a chance to learn every Bach or every Darkei Moshe Aruch or the like. I generally, the Prishas or the Drishas, I usually do Beis Yosef and tour, obviously, Beis Yosef, Darkei Moshe, and then go on. You know, sometimes if there's something that I'm interested in or that bothers me or the like, I'll look at the other Mefarshim. Then we turn to the Shulchan Aruch. So there are a lot of commentaries on the page of the Shulchan Aruch. Which ones, I think, are the most important to do? So number one is Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham is the Iker Perush on Aruch Chaim. Again, nothing against the Taz. But if you don't have a chance to see the Taz, and you have to pick one, either Magen Avraham or Taz, I think it should be Magen Avraham. You'll see that, you know, 70 or 80 or 90% of Mishneh Berurah is Magen Avraham. And it's not just Mishneh Berurah. If you look at the Shulchan Aruch Harav, or you look at other Svarim. Now, the problem with learning Magen Avraham is that it's very hard. Magen Avraham is really hard. And that's one of the reasons why we'll have so many commentaries just on the Magen Avraham, Sashako. And that's because he's sometimes pretty cryptic. He'll ask questions or he's clearly bothered by something. It says a chiddush, and it's not obvious what he's bothered by or what his chiddush is or the like. So learning Magen Avraham is hard work. You guys learned Yarudeya. Learning Shach's much easier than learning Magen Avraham. Learning Shach and Taz together, both of them, is easier than learning Magen Avraham. And Cholkos, Mechokik, and Beishmol. Magen Avraham is hard. If you were in Dr. Grach's class, you would say he's a terrible writer. I don't say things like that, but he did. But it's, so maybe it's true, but there's a reason why he became the Iker Perush. Like I said, you look at Mishneh Berurah, and it's 70 or 80% Magen Avraham. So
find that the like back of the shekel can go then, like what do you find out of this Kalim to help with that?
So again, both are helpful. Machzis HaShekel is usually easier. So the first thing I do when, again, I don't read Machzis HaShekel straight. It takes too long. But, you know, when I get to a line, first, could I think about it before jumping straight from Machzis HaShekel. But when you need help, either because you want to see if your interpretation is right or you're just stuck, Machzis HaShekel is the easiest thing to use. But Prima Gadim is also helpful. And again, almost everybody post Magen Avraham is working on the Magen Avraham. In other words, I don't usually do this, but it's also a good strategy. You know, you could do Shulchan Aruch HaRav, and then you'll see how he learned the Magen Avraham. So there are lots of good ways. But again, I usually find the easiest is the Machzis HaShekel, because it's more or less line by line of the Magen Avraham, at least the parts that are hard, and he gives you the background and the like. So that's, but again, I don't look at the Machzis HaShekel, generally speaking, unless there's a particular need to. Next is the other commentary on the page of the Shulchan Aruch that if you have time to do, it's very kedai, is the Gaon. The Gaon, first of all, always shows you where things come back to. It's hard. If I'm not going to promise it's hard, maybe the Graz even harder because it's written so tersely. But it's not, when you've actually seen the Makoros, it's not nearly as hard. It's impossible if you haven't learned the Gemara and Rishon, but oftentimes it's not. And the Gra, sometimes it goes quickly, and that's great. It'll confirm what you already suspect. And oftentimes, it'll surprise you. And reading the Gra is very important to read carefully as well. And we'll have a chance maybe to do some over the summer. But for example, usually when the Gra says aval, so he'll quote the source, the arguments, you know, for the where the Shulchan Aruch's opinion is coming from. And then he'll say, aval, sometimes he'll quote Cholkin. Usually that's what aval follows. That usually means that he's disagreeing with the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch. He doesn't, sometimes he says the Shulchan Aruch's wrong. And Rishonim are wrong. But more often than not, he doesn't say they're wrong. He doesn't, but he'll say aval, da-da-da. And that you'll see that's his opinion. And you'll gain tremendous more depth. Again, if you don't have time, then you don't have time, and that's okay. You don't have to do every graph, but when you do have time, it's tremendously valuable. An Or Chaim, we were very fortunate to have Mishneh Berurah, which is tremendous. And you'll, if you haven't learned Mishneh Berurah, you'll see his tremendous omek, and it's not his questions, his answers, his analysis. Oftentimes, the Mishneh Berurah goes back to the Rishonim. In other words, you know, the discussion in the earlier Achronim is sort of not focused on the Rishonim. And then the Mishneh Berurah, or in the Bir Halacha, he says, well, what about these six Rishonim that say, you know, this and this and this and this? When I say Mishneh Berurah, I mean also with the Shaar Tzion and the Bir Halacha, very important. Most of the time, the Shaar Tzions are just the Makoros, who says what, you know, this is a Lechem Chamudos or what. But oftentimes there's further analysis, and it's certainly in the Bir Halacha. And again, one of the things you'll see that's interesting in the Bir Halacha, it's not just elaboration, but that's where you'll see, you'll have to figure out what the Mishneh Berurah really thinks. In the Mishneh Berurah himself, he oftentimes quotes the conventional approach. And then in the Bir Halacha, you'll see his approach. He writes with a lot of humility. So he doesn't say, you know, this is what the Achronim say, but I think they got it all wrong. But that's what he's saying in his humble way of speaking. And you'll get that in the Bir Halacha. So if you want to know what he really thinks oftentimes in terms of Pesach. And finally, contemporary Svarim. Contemporary Svarim, how much do you have to see them? Somewhat depends on the limud. Meaning to say, in some areas of halacha, you won't know, if you stop at the Mishneh Berurah, you'll have no clue what to do. Hilchos Shabbos, let's say. So many of our practical Hilchos Shabbos shailas have developed since the time of the Mishneh Berurah. And therefore, if you don't find out what, you know, contemporary, I mean, we'll just say for that matter, post-Mishneh Berurah, up to modern day posting, you just won't know what to do on lots and lots and lots of shailas. The world at the time of the Mishneh Berurah was closer to the way it was in the Gemara than more time has passed since the Mishneh Berurah to us than from the Gemara to Mishneh Berurah in a certain sense. I mean, he's also dealing with modern questions, but modern 100 years ago. But so when you're dealing with a contemporary a type, and you know, you think, okay, well, Hilchos Nida, how much has changed there? But you learn Hilchos Nida, and you'll see that. For whatever mysterious reasons there are, the Metzius has changed since the time of the Shulchan Aruch. How that happened, who knows? You talk about it when you learn it. But other areas of halacha, let's say, you know, much of Siman we did today. So how much has changed about other than, you know, maybe nobody sleeps in the same bed without clothing anymore. And if you do, you should stop. But how much has changed since the time of the Mishabura? No, not much, you know, the same. So something like that, to see what contemporary Sfarim say, is not nearly as important. So in terms of contemporary Sfarim, there are lots of very good tools. Maybe we'll talk about that later, because I want to see a little bit today. Dirshu, Mishnah Berurahs are sort of the easiest way to do that. Dirshu, Mishnah Berurahs, we should point out, especially as we're in the Beit Yosef synagogue, are not complete. They have a strong emphasis in the poskim from Bnei Brak and others. They don't, for example, for whatever reason, quote Rav Avadia Yosef, among other contemporary Sfarim that they don't seem to quote. So you're not going to get everything. Certainly won't get what your Rebbeim hold, and that's very important to know what the Rebbeim of our yeshiva and the postman of our yeshiva. You're not going to get that from Dirshu. So that's certainly not enough, but certainly a very quick, handy way to have a basic idea of what contemporary postmen are saying. And I should point out that if you really want to understand them also, you have to look them up. You might get a one-line summary of Rav Moshe's position in the Dirshu. When you look it up, Moshe's tshuvos, especially the real tshuvos, are extraordinary. And, you know, you'll really miss the boat. And oftentimes, like we said before, in learning the Makoros, misses under, you know, what his real position is if you just see the one-line Dirshu summary. But certainly, again, having some type of contemporary work is useful. Okay. And let's turn to... So the next thing is I have here is ask. And that's really important. Ask your chaverim how they learn this. Ask your rebbeim. And find out what to do, Lamaisa. Answer your questions. You could, you know, with respect, obviously. But sometimes you'll need to push a little bit to get answers from your rebbeim to your questions, and that's very worthwhile. I put here just one Gemara that reflects this. Don't have time to read it inside now, since this is what we said. The Gemara here tells a story about how after Rav passed away, the Talmidim were coming back from his burial, and they had a certain Shaila and Halacha, and they didn't know the answer. And they tore Kriya again, a second time, because almost like a new appreciation. And the Rav actually talks about this very beautifully in Isha Halacha. I don't remember where exactly. But it's not just that, you know, further Tsar doesn't warrant a new Kriya. So this was something new. They had the Shaila, and they said, oh, if Rav was here, we could have asked. And there's another Gemara that we saw this year. Brachos again about how a certain Talmud didn't ask a Shiloh when he was alive because he didn't even think it needed to be asked. And then when it was no longer able to, he said, I should have asked. So you're not going to always be able to ask. And as you're learning halacha and yeshiva especially, you should ask questions and not just ask, but argue if you disagree respectfully, try to understand. I'll point out one other thing, which is that, you know, as you guys, many of you are just starting smicha and the like. So I developed my kesher with Rabbi Willig only when I was in smicha. I had no shaychus to him. And I never was, except in a little bit, you know, never really was in a shir much, but I consider him my Rebbe. Mostly just because of asking questions. And through asking questions, learning, hopefully, a little bit, is Derech of Psak. And whenever you ask a Shaila, if you can, going forward, you should do research before, even if it's not what you're learning. Certainly, if it's what you're learning, hopefully you've done the research. But whatever, you know, we have Shailas in our life that happen all the time. And if you just ask a shy. So sometimes you might not have time. Sometimes it might be a pressing matter. You can't, like, you have to get an answer. You can't start going back to the Makoros. But whenever you can, it's kedai to research, you know, maybe to try to figure out what would I do if I were having to paskin. And then you'll ask, and then you'll get so much more from the question and the back and forth. And if you don't do it first, if you do it afterwards, so then you have to come back a second time, and it's okay also to come back a second time, but you'll get much less from the experience. So whenever you can, always do research before you ask your question, and then you'll get a lot more from the answer. Next, I have summation and organization. So summation at the end, I think, is hugely valuable. Writing up your conclusions. You don't have to have the answer to every question. So, you could leave the questions, this is what I understand and this is what I didn't understand. You don't have to, it's okay to move on to the next sugya without having answered every question. Adarabha, it's usually a bad idea. If you stay in the sugya so long that you've answered every question, you've probably been on it for too long. But you got to come away with clarity. Again, clarity doesn't mean the answer to every question. Part of clarity is knowing what you know and knowing what you don't know. And otherwise, you end up with just a big jumble of information, random information, and you're not coming away with clarity. You're not going to remember it and the like. Just one source that I thought sort of brought this out very powerfully, Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Shiva Dvarim B'Golem V'Shiva B'Chacham. We won't read the whole Mishnah, but there's seven differences in between a Golem and a Chacham. So if you look at the Rambam in the Pirkei Mishnah, he points out, why does he Golem? We have a lot of words for idiot. We could use Shota, we could use... So what is the specific connotation of Golem, and what is this Mishnah really coming to teach you? So this is who ish sheyesh lo milos sichlios umilos hamidos. We're talking about a smart person, a person who knows how to learn, a person who has good midos. Amnam einam shlemos v'lo holchos al seder karaoi aval yesh ban irbuvia ubilbulim b'isarev bahem chisaro mipneze nikra golem. So a golem is someone who has these intellectual virtues, but they're not complete and they're not organized. He's a bunch of clutter in his head. After the sugya is done, it's just irbuvia. And even though he could tell you 100 years, he could write, answers on the Bechina, like long, long answers. Zocha to drive with Rabbi Tzarfati, so he oftentimes, after Kol Bechina, since you're taking one today, complains about these people who, since they don't know the answer to the question, they just write these endless answers with all sorts of information pertaining to the sugya without actually answering the question, just a bunch of irbuvia. Because if it was clear, he told me that he never flipped the page on any one of his kol bechinas. In other words, he always answered all 13 questions, always on one side of one page. So I didn't ask him what grades he got. I don't know who graded them before when he was in the column. But, I'm not saying you give longer answers. But a lot of times those long answers are just a reflection of your buvia. And so coming out with organization and clarity. And finally, and I'll point out that this is most relevant to me, is Chazara. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha Omer, Kol halomei Torah ve'eno chozer, alaha dome la'adam shezoreya ve'eno kotzer. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Kol halomei Torah umeshakcha, dome la'isha sheyoledes ve'koveres. So what's the difference here? Is he just another mushel seeing how foolish it is to learn without chazaring? So I once heard from Ravan Lapiansky that they're not saying, obviously they're both emphasizing the importance of chazara, but there's a big difference. Rabbi Yeshua is speaking about someone who actually got a handle on the studies, But with time, they were forgotten because he didn't chazer. So this is compared to a mother who gave birth, but then buried it. Rabbi Shua ben Karcha is someone earlier. In other words, not just dealing with crops that were harvested and then they rotted, but crops that were never even harvested. It's the person who learned the sugya once or twice with the illusion that he knows it, but he never really even had it. So that's what his mashal is, right? It's Zoreya the Eino Kotzer. He never even got it. So I guess if that's true, then this last source is teaching us 2 points. Number one, don't waste your time learning without chazering. I think they say from the Chafetz Chaim that it's bittul Torah to learn without chazering. So bittul Torah beichos, because you could, obviously, you have learned, but you're not going to remember anything you learned. And maybe another time, but rather time, to talk about how to chazer, because especially halacha, most people will not remember everything they learned. So the question is, how do you know what to remember, what to focus on? But the second thing is, this hara, which is chazara, and maybe this is the first chazara to do before you go on, is to make sure you actually got it. So with this in mind, again, just being able to tell you 8 points of learning halacha doesn't mean that I know how to learn halacha. But these are all things that we could all do it. I just wanted to mention one hara, which is going back to the order of things. What I wanted to say is, what happens if you don't have time? In other words, I had here 10 things from Gemara to contemporary. What do you skip if you have to skip? So I would think, though again, different ways, I would say you should at least see the Gemara, at least see the Beis Yosef, Shulchan Aruch, Darkei Moshe, and then if you have to skip to the Mishnah Berurah, you could skip to the Mishnah Berurah. In other words, if you have to skip Magen Avraham and Nevuah, okay. If you don't have time to see all the Rishonim inside, and you have to see the Rishonim as quoted by the Beis Yosef, fine. But that would sort of be my recommended order. So we should all be zaycha to learn a lot of halacha, and know a lot of halacha, and remember a lot of halacha, and hatzlacha on your bechinas. So I guess we're not going to. Next time we'll have a chance. Tomorrow, we'll go on. And the first part of Shir, we'll talk about this first Gemara, and then we'll get to the next Sugya.